This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
I didn't read Thor.
Did you say Thor?
Thor? Number four?
Oh, yeah.
No. I don't think it came out today.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
Joe Pruitt said it got pushed back a week or something.
What is going on?
What, with the release schedule?
Yeah.
Is this been happening a lot with them?
You know what? Maybe we should just get right into it.
Yeah.
Because this is the Aftershock Central podcast with Martin, Ronnie, and Jack, and I'm very angry.
Why are you angry, Martin?
What a way to start a show. because, like, what happened to the books? What's happening?
It's just one, right?
Well, Lifespanners too, right?
Yeah, Lifespanners. What happened to Lifespanners? Right. Well, I mean, I kind of know what happened to Lifespanners. But yeah, I was so excited. I know a lot of people were looking forward to it, and it got pushed back. Like, who was it? Jay, I believe. Jay right, posted the solicits for September, and I go ahead and clicked on him. I looked at him. I was like, this doesn't look right. There's a book missing in September. So I went to Comic Arc, and I was looking, and I was like, there's no Lifespanners. So I went back to August and July, and Lifespanners was supposed to come out last week, number one. So I know Ronnie got into it on Twitter because I sent out a tweet. I was like, what the hell? What's happening? And like, there was no mention anywhere. But if you go on Aftershock's website, and like, it was removed from the schedule.
Yeah.
It says coming 2017. But like, I went everywhere, like all the preview sites, everybody still had it listed, like the actual previews website still had it listed coming out on the 6th, and it's not coming out on the 6th, guys. And that
yeah,
has me very
it,
upset.
I wonder if it had anything to do with, like, I mean, they had, so in June they had like 4 books come out, and then this month it was like 20 or something.
Yeah, you were talking 16. About that, because the next few weeks there's like 3 or 4 coming out every week. Or
yeah,
scheduled to come out.
They ramped up their production, it seems like. I wonder if that's taking an effect on the release schedule.
I'm just like pacing it out, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, here's the thing. Like, I don't. If a book needs to be pushed back because there's something wrong with it, or like it's not where they want it to be, I'm totally okay with that. So when I say I'm angry, don't get me wrong. I'm not actually angry. I would rather the books come out and they be good. Then
right.
They never come out, or you know, they come out and they're just kind of garbage,
right?
Because I think so far the output has been really good for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we all read Valiant, and that's one of the things that, you know, Valiant is never late on a book,
right?
And it just so happens that we've been fortunate enough where the quality of the books has been pretty high for the most part as well.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah. I'm glad that we get both there. But, you know, a lot of smaller publishers push back books all the time, and it happens, and that's... I mean, comics are hard, dude.
Yeah, Valiant's on the money, man, but, you know, after reading Image, like, 1 week is nothing. I mean, you might read an Image book, and it just goes away for 6 months.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't even come back.
Right.
So.
Well, that's like, what's up, Black Magic, right? That's probably not going to come back. Because
right.
The Rucka and the artist, I can't remember the artist's name, they're on Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So we'll probably never see another Black Magic issue again.
Yeah. Well, how about the Dying and the Dead? It got through 3 issues.
Yeah.
And everybody I talked to was like, oh, this is a great story. But that was all it got. It was 3 issues and then nothing. I don't think it's coming back either.
That's too bad. I was excited. I know there were apparently some production issues. I don't know all the details, and it's really kind of irrelevant to what the details are anyway. But,
yeah.
You know, it's coming in 2017, so that's fine.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Whatever that means. But yeah, I mean, the one that we're just talking about, well, I guess. Like, I was looking forward to it. I like Team Seeley, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of a bummer, but you know, like I said, if it means that the book is going to be better, hopefully, then that's fine.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather have a polished book, right? Because I don't want any part of a book to be kind of meh.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You guys were saying, it's like if they come out hitting home runs out of the gate with every book, you know, it one book might not be that towering home run, but it's still a home run, and it just feels like it left flat.
Sure.
Even though it's an awesome book, but, you know, it didn't come out strong like the other ones did.
Right. Yep, no, I agree with that. Because I guess this week we're supposed to have Dreaming Eagles, which did come out.
Yes.
Jackpot 3, which did come out. Rough Riders 4, which did not come out.
Yep.
That's the one that we're talking about. And then Super Zero, I guess that came out. Yeah, that came out as well.
Number 6, yeah.
Yeah, so 3 out of 4 ain't bad, I guess.
Yeah, and that means, what, next week we'll have 5, 6 books?
I think so.
Two,
I mean,
3, 4. It still only says 4.
Well, unless Rough Riders got pushed back a week.
All I show for next week is Strayer and The Revisionist.
Strayer, The Revisionist, Insects, number 6, and Insects. Rough Riders, number 4 now.
Okay, so it is scheduled for next week then.
Rough Riders.
Well,
okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I guess it happens. I don't know. If it's just like a week pushback, it might just be like something with a printer, you know?
Right, yeah.
And that's fine. That's fine. That's too bad, though, because we're kind of discussing Rough Riders today. So it would have been cool to read the 4th issue. Because I've really enjoyed the first 3. But, like, they all end in, like, such a cliffhanger. You're like, come on now.
Yeah.
You know? And so now you have the cliffhanger at 3, and you want to know what happens, and now we have to wait another week. But that's cool. It happens.
I don't think that happens enough in comics anymore today, where they leave in the cliffhanger wanting the next issue, you know, wait another month or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. You know, with Rough Riders, like, it's not the same kind of story at all, but, you know, like what Venditti does in Exo Manowar.
Right.
It's kind of like that, right? Like where all 47 issues that we've had so far, just like when one ends, it leads to the next thing.
Right.
And so you have to wait another month.
Right.
I don't know when you guys started reading comics. I started reading early 90s, and that's how every comic was in the early 90s.
Yes, exactly. Right? And that's where I was going with like DC Rebirth style. Like every Rebirth issue has led into a cliffhanger, so to speak, you know. And so I thought that was awesome because mine was late 80s, I think. But I'm also old, so.
You are an old man. I think Jack's a young. How old are you, Jack?
Oh, man, I'm probably older than both you guys.
No. Ronnie's pretty old, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, are we doing ages?
Ronnie's like 50.
Yeah. Minus 10.
I'm pushing 40. I'll say that.
Okay. All right.
That's cool.
So Jack and I might be pretty close then.
Yeah, you guys are close. You guys are close.
But you're the young pup.
I am the young pup. But that's okay. Yeah, so let's talk about Rough Riders. Because this was this book was a surprise for me, dude. It's not at all in my wheelhouse.
Yep.
But it is really, really enjoyable. And I didn't enjoy it as much on my first read as I did on my second. Hmm.
Now, what is your wheelhouse?
Wheelhouse is more like Black Eyed Kids. Are we talking like Aftershock or just in general?
No, just in general.
I like horror and sci-fi for the most part.
Okay.
I like mystery, which is why I like a really good Batman detective story. And yes, I have to bring Batman up in every podcast. But you
couldn't,
you know,
say like the Department H or anything like that. You had to
say Department H is fine. That's a good example. That's a pretty hardcore mystery. I don't like things where you can just read the book at face value and kind of understand everything. I like when there are things happening that you don't understand until further down the line. Mm-hmm. And as a story develops, you get more and more, and you can actually go back and reread issues and maybe catch things that you didn't the first time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you're like planting seeds as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Rough Riders is one of those books,
mm-hmm,
where they're planting a lot of seeds, because really we've had 3 issues, and to be honest, like, nothing has happened in 3 issues. right? Because all we get is Teddy trying to find his Rough Rider crew.
Right.
So, yes, I am going to name this episode after a DMX song. And I might even make it part of the intro song. Uh-oh. We'll see. are you doing our recap again, Jack?
Sure.
Cool. Tell us about Rough Riders.
All righty. So this is written by Adam Glass, who I'm not real familiar with, but it sounds like he's done a lot of DC stuff. You're a DC guy, right? Are you familiar with him?
The name sounds familiar, but I just can't place what he's done.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I looked up some of the stuff he's done, and it looked like a lot of DC stuff, and I wasn't familiar with any of it, so...
Hmm. Well, he's done TV, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think he's done, like, Supernatural, Criminal Minds, a couple other things.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So the art is by Pat O'Leaf. I think I'm saying that right.
Sounds right.
Who I'm also not super familiar with. But it sounds like he's been in the industry since, like, the 80s. From what I looked up, so yeah. It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
So jump into this. The story revolves. The main character is Theodore Roosevelt, and this is I guess if people haven't read this yet, it's an alternate history story, which is kind of weird because the people and some of the events are all real, but the story is all fiction. Mm-hmm. So if you know your history, I imagine this. Probably really comes to life when you hear names like, you know, Theodore Roosevelt or J.P. Morgan. And I love history, but I'm not a big history buff, largely because I have the long-term memory of like a housefly, so I just don't remember anything. But it's still a lot of fun. And so it takes place in 1898. That's when it starts, at least. And the main character is Theodore Roosevelt, who was the 26th president. But this would have been before his presidency. And the book starts off with the first scene was pretty impressive, I thought. The first scene in the first issue. It starts with Roosevelt saving some Jewish women from a burning building. And it looks like they're working in sort of like a sewing shop, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I initially thought... I saw the Star of David. I thought maybe this is some sort of Nazi camp, but I guess that's the whole history thing because, you know, this was before the Nazi party took over, so it would not have been that. I guess it's like a sweatshop or something.
Yeah. I would think it's a sweatshop, right? I mean, this is post Industrial Revolution, so
yeah,
I would think this is pretty commonplace.
Okay. Cool. And... but the whole point of it is Roosevelt gets to show that he's like a total badass because he saves them from a burning building that they're trapped in. And I'm looking at it right now, and I thought the whole scene was pretty impressive. He actually has a blimp that he tries to rescue the men because they can't get out of the building, so he's trying to get them off of a balcony or through a window or something. Mm-hmm. And then does he shoot a... water tower? How does he get all the water? I was looking at this and he extinguishes the fire mm-hmm. by shooting something. Can you tell what that is?
No, I couldn't quite tell. Let's see.
I think he shoots a nearby water tower and it just dumps water, which is pretty crazy. Yep. But it's
that's
hard
the
to
way
make
I
out.
Take it too.
Okay.
Yeah, it is kind of hard to tell.
Yeah. So it starts with this pretty intense scene of him saving these women. And even though he's sort of the hero, he kind of feels bad because one person didn't make it. So the initial part of this first issue, you know, it's a lot of self-reflection by Roosevelt.
It is the water tower because you can see it in his reflection, in his little binoculars, infrared binoculars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool. And so the next scene, we see him... And feel free to jump in if either of you guys know your history and you can add, because I wasn't sure what's going on. I know he meets with J.P. Morgan,
yes.
Right? And the others, there's three other guys. Do y'all know who they are by chance?
You're talking about in the first issue?
Yeah, in the first issue.
You know, I did a little bit of research. I couldn't quite figure out who the other guys were.
Okay.
I know some of the people that actually joined the crew who they are. but not these other guys. I mean, I guess he's talking about Vanderbilt, so I know who Vanderbilt is. He's kind of like a J.P. Morgan type.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure about everybody else.
I think, and you know, I may sound ignorant to somebody who really knows the history, but I think there was like a Federal Reserve cartel called the Four Horsemen that J.P. Morgan was a part of, and I don't know if this is what that is. I need to read up on it. I should have done that before this, but I didn't. So.
Well, and that I think that's one thing that the book does really well is bringing in historical characters with a twist.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Rough Riders were a real thing.
Right.
And they were kind of just like average people. They did, you know, it did start in 1898. They were in the Spanish-American Civil War or Spanish-American War. So all that is kind of discussed in this series.
Yeah.
I think what differs, of course, is for one, like, I'm pretty sure Teddy Roosevelt didn't have a laser gun. You know, so there's that. Like, he wasn't flying around in blimps. Anyways, I don't want to talk about the cast now. I guess we can get that as we progress in the series.
Yeah, and it's cool you brought up the Spanish-American War, because J.P. Morgan, pretty much, he tells him that he wants to send him into Cuba. Mm-hmm. And I think he tells him the U.S. is declaring war on the Spanish. And I looked this up, in 1998, that's when the USS Maine was sabotaged in the Havana Harbor, which ultimately exploded and killed like 3/4 of the crew, which led to the Spanish-American War. And I found out one of the rallying cries was, "Remember the Maine, to hell with Spain." So there's definitely lots of history here.
Nice.
And so historically in the comic, that's why I guess Roosevelt's being sent to Cuba. So he agrees to go, but he says he wants to pick his own team. And the first two issues pretty much are him rounding up this sort of unlikely cast of, you know, crazy characters to go on this mission with him. And the first guy he goes after is Jack Johnson, which is the first African-American heavyweight boxing champion.
Yeah.
And next, they go after Harry Houdini, the magician and stunt performer, who also turns out not only does card tricks, but can, like, flick a card as a deadly weapon, which is pretty crazy.
Let me just side note here.
Sure.
That is actually a thing.
Yeah.
Because I used to practice that when I was, like, in my early teens, like, you know, 12, 13.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it was, but there was some magician that I saw doing it. And, of course, I was reading, like, X-Men books, so that's one of the things that Gambit does, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, he charges the card and throws them. So that was, like, my thing back then, because Gambit was hot in the early 90s. And
yeah.
You can cause some damage with some cards, dude. Like, brand-new deck of cards? Yeah. I mean, not, like, to the extent that Houdini does in this book, but... Yeah.
Not to the extent that you would take it on a mission to Cuba, undercover
Absolutely
mission.
Absolutely not.
It's my weapon of choice. Take a card.
Be like Bullseye.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but that's one of the things I love about this book is he's Adam Glass has really done his homework, and there's a lot of little things in here that if you really spend your time looking up this stuff, man, there's a lot of little nuggets throughout it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't even catch that stuff until because like I missed the whole J.P. Morgan thing and all that when I first read this until I saw Houdini pop in, and I was like, wow, Houdini. I was like, I know this guy. And then, like, Thomas Edison shows up, right?
Yep, yep.
I was like, maybe I should look up, like, who these other people are, too.
Yeah.
Because everybody that's kind of central to the story is, I guess, kind of historically important in some way.
Yeah. That's cool. And I'm kind of curious to see, because I think he's choosing to bring specific characters in for specific reasons. Based on their personality or kind of thing they were into, so
I could see that. Because what is it in the second issue? I guess because they bring in what's his name? Monk Eastman,
right?
They bring Monk Eastman into the crew.
Yeah. So the last two people he goes after Thomas Edison, and then they recruit Annie Oakley.
Yeah.
Who was like an exhibition sharpshooter.
Yep.
And then Monk Eastman.
who I'm not extremely familiar with, but I think he was like a 20th century New York City gangster, right?
That's correct, the Eastman Gang.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was the only one that I wasn't familiar with as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he kind of quickly gets kicked out of the group because in their first fight together, he proves not to be a team player when Thomas Edison's about to get his, you know, head bashed in, and instead of he doesn't help him, and Andy has to go over there and save him instead. So
that was actually my favorite part of the issue.
Yeah, that was cool
when he kicks him off the boat, because he's testing all these people throughout, right? Like as soon as he meets somebody, he pulls some kind of test. Started with Jack Johnson and, you know, the $100 bill, and going from there. I think my two favorite ones were Houdini's test, where like he chains him up and throws him in the water because he knows Houdini can get out of it. And then of course the thing with Eastman was kind of funny because, you know, Eastman was kind of a tough gangster type, and here's Teddy just like throws him overboard because he doesn't like the way he acts. That's kind of funny.
And I wonder if he'll I wonder if he's going to come back, because it seems weird to introduce a character and then, you know, two pages later he's gone.
Sure. Sure.
Isn't that kind of ironic that he put Houdini through the thing that where he actually died from?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's true.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was kind of Houdini's main thing, right? Like the escape from water. And yeah, he died from it, but that was his main deal.
Right, he was an escape artist, I guess.
Yes. Which I've seen a lot of Houdini stuff lately. I don't know if you guys know, there's a Houdini show.
Yes.
What's it called? Houdini and there's somebody
and
else.
Doyle.
And Doyle, yeah.
Yes, which is the writer for, right? It's the guy that writes Sherlock Holmes.
Right. and they partner up to solve crimes. There was a Houdini movie recently, well, fairly recently, with Adrian Brody.
Right.
So I don't know what it is about Houdini. He's coming back, dude. Maybe he's not dead. Maybe he's like Biggie and Tupac.
the Houdini and Doyle, I recommend, though. It's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I still need to watch it. I know that John and Mike talk about it on their podcast, but I'll check that out. Anyways, because... continue, Jack. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, I like the scene where he was recruiting Jack Johnson also.
Yeah.
Where he actually fights with him and then sort of wins him over by beating him, but he kind of reveals to him it wasn't because he's a better fighter, but he had sort of studied up on him and figured out some of his tendencies, and he dodges a punch, which results in Jack Johnson, you know, falling off of a pier into water, and somehow it turns into them like laughing and hugging it out, which was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then issue three, they finally embark on their mission to Cuba, and things sort of get fun because they pair up, and we sort of I think it's the first time we get to see each character kind of using their unique abilities to fight or solve problems or get into trouble, which they seem to do pretty frequently
quite
as well.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And they find a weapon that the Spanish are working on, which I think is going to turn out to be alien technology.
I would agree with that.
And I think I read somewhere, and I don't remember where, but that this story is going to have something to do with UFOs at some point. So that's my guess at this point, that's what that is.
You know, that's funny, because if you guys remember when we did our Black Eyed Kids episode, I said that's...
You're
that
right.
was kind of what I thought it was. Maybe right. that's what the tying thread is for this universe.
Hey.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, I kind of caught that. I don't know if it was... I think it was at the end of the second issue when they show that guy. Like, he's like in a basement.
Mm-hmm.
They only show him for like two panels. Like in one... He's like sitting on the floor, like kneeling on the floor or something. And in the next panel, he's like flying off into the darkness.
Yes.
It seemed kind of weird and creepy in some kind of odd way. And then you kind of get that in the third issue as well, when Annie is talking to that Spanish admiral.
Right.
And he's not saying anything. And then the little worm pops out of his ear.
Yeah. What was that about?
Right.
Which we talked about in the Black Eyed Kids episode, too.
Exactly. The body snatchers, I'm telling you. They should rename this Body Snatcher Comics.
Then it would give everything away, though, so you can't.
I really love the interaction between Jack and Houdini.
Yeah.
Aside from Teddy Roosevelt's character, who, like, he's a total badass, right? Like, there's nothing he can't do. Everything he does, he's freaking amazing at. Like, he's an expert fighter. He's a politician, a statesman. Mm-hmm. Like, he has the backroom dealings. Like, he's a martial artist. He does everything. But I think Jack and Houdini are so different in their personalities and the way that they interact with others and the way that they react to different problems that it's mm-hmm. really cool to see them together in this book. Because you kind of don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And they're just so polar opposites that it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, and I like the scene where they're being chased and they're sort of running through, you know, running through the forest, diving stuff, and Jack looks like a total, you know, super athlete, and Houdini's flicking cards to break lines. And
I don't know about you guys, but I read Jack's lines like John Coffey from The Green Mile. That's what he reminds me of.
Really?
Like, I mean, not like intelligent like that. I'm just talking like this big hulking guy, you know, type thing.
See, that's funny because I read him like Mike Tyson. Well, and I mean, maybe that's wrong of me, but like, I don't know. You don't see like a lot of like boxers in like movies and TV. Like you see wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of wrestlers in other media. But in terms of boxers, like other than Mike Tyson, who's been in a movie or a TV show that you know of?
True.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever heard any of them talk other than like him and Holyfield.
Right.
And Holyfield.
Oh, George Foreman. Come on. You bought the George Foreman grill. Yeah. Come on.
You know what? Jack Johnson could be George Foreman.
Could be.
Yeah.
In his prime. I could see that. I don't know. I love Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson cracks me up. So I just that was the first thing I thought of, and it just kind of worked for me the whole time. And I kind of read Jack almost the same. I don't even know why. Not Jack. Houdini. Almost the same, but like in a snarky tone.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. He's Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Style.
I could totally see that. I love Houdini's character.
Yeah.
So much. He's hilarious. The one that I can't really get into is Thomas Edison. Granted, like we haven't seen a whole lot of Thomas Edison, but just like from what I know of Thomas Edison, I don't like him as a person. Okay, yes, guys, I've never met Thomas Edison. He was dead before I was born. Yes, I get it. But he was kind of a douchebag from what I know of history. And so that kind of didn't appeal to me.
Huh.
So whenever he shows up, I kind of don't really care.
Yeah, well, maybe it's yet to be seen.
That's true. Well, and since we have historical characters, I'm hoping that, like, Tesla shows up and just kicks Edison's ass. I think that'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so we're in Cuba. Everybody's got, like, their own mission or whatever.
Yeah, and, you know, this is getting pretty close to the end of our last issue. But that scene where Jack and Houdini are running through the forest and then, eventually they sort of get trapped and it looks like it's kind of the end of the line for them, but they get at the last minute, they sort of get rescued. Somebody springs out and saves them and it turns out to be, Rasputin, which...
Wait, you forgot the part about the peasant ninjas in the jungle. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's chasing them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because when you first see them in the shadows, and you kind of can't really tell what's happening. So you're like, you know, whatever, maybe like Spanish soldiers or something. And then they pop out, and they're total ninjas, dude. There's like darts flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
Yeah. Continue. No, you're right. They're all creeping up behind them.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yep, but Rasputin handles them pretty easily, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they try to thank Rasputin for saving them, and he's not really having that either. He's like, he says, what does he say? He tells them, they say, thanks for the save, friend. He says, I'm not your friend. I am Rasputin, and you will bow to me.
So, and you know, Rasputin, I mean, the introduction of him made me think, okay, they're thinking really hard about which characters just to throw in here at any specific time.
Sure. Sure. But, I mean, Rasputin was kind of...
Russian mystic, I guess, right?
Healer? Yeah, I was trying to find a proper way of saying really effing nuts.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, controversial, for sure.
Very controversial, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of mythology about the character. Because, you know, it was like early 20th or 19th century, I guess it would be, right? Or 20th
yeah.
century, I don't know. Early 20th century Russia. So, you know, there's still a lot of, like, folktale in Russia. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of a weird time before they dethroned the Tsar and all that stuff. So it's really interesting. Like, he's a very fascinating guy. And all the stories that have popped up about him kind of say a lot about the type of person he was, you know? Because obviously he didn't have magical powers. Like, he wasn't, I guess, like, one of the things was, you know, he could drink poison and not die or whatever. Like, there's so many different stories about Rasputin, which surely none of them are true. But, like, he was, like, a master marketer.
Yes.
You know? So, yes. Anything, like, he could sell you on any story yes. that he wanted to sell you on.
He was
and you would believe it.
Yes, he was the car salesman back then.
Yes. Huh. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And, of course, like, the main person he was selling a car to was the Russian Tsar.
Right.
Right? So that's why he became so powerful and kind of so many stories have popped up about him. But yeah, he's a very interesting guy. And there was an image book about Rasputin. I don't know if you guys read it.
I read the first two arcs of it.
It was quite good.
Yeah, it was very good.
It's really, really good. So yeah, that's how the third issue ends.
Yeah, and now he has a group of people behind him also, you see in the very last panel.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's who that is. They kind of look dressed similarly to the ninjas, though.
They do.
So, and I don't know why he would even be here. I mean, it's I think it's awesome the way he's chosen characters from this specific time. He's, you know, been very careful about that. He's not being loose with his history at all.
Sure.
Except, you know, in telling the story how he wants to.
Well, and it's alternate history, right? Which is cool because you can kind of do whatever you want with it. I know I've talked about this on other podcasts before, but, you know, Elseworld stories are some of my favorite stories, and I wish they would do a lot more of them, you know.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, like, every month there was an Elseworld book, or like all the annuals I know were Elseworlds for quite a while,
right?
And it's really cool to see, because like it's nice to read about a character that you enjoy and like you get more stories about that character, but to see like what that character represents in a different light is really interesting, and it makes you think about what makes that character special or that story special. And that's what I really enjoy about Rough Riders, because it really is an Elseworld story, even though I've never read any other fictional work about any of these characters other than Rasputin. It's very cool and refreshing to see a book like that.
Yeah. Now, have you ever read a story with this many characters in the story, this many historical characters in the same story? I mean, he just threw a ton of people in here.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think I have either.
I mean, even beyond comics, like, I don't think I've seen a TV show or movie that
right.
has this many people, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know. But
I was actually surprised, because this one was out of my wheelhouse, too. Like,
yeah.
I love history stuff. Like, I can watch the History Channel all the time. Not that I'm going to retain the information, but, you know, it intrigues me. But this book, when I first picked it up, was more like, gave me the steampunk type vibe.
Yeah.
And I'm not really into the steampunk all that much. Huh. So I was like, well, we'll just see. And then,
yeah.
I mean, I don't really notice it as bad. I mean, of course, there's some things in there, like his goggles and, you know, stuff like that, their guns. But
yeah, I think it was very few things. I got that impression, too. And the first panel that gave it to me was right before he shoots the water tower, when he's holding that little laser gun thing.
Right, yeah. And they're in the big blimp.
Yeah, right, the blimp, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, I'm not a huge steampunk guy either, but it's cool sometimes, like, if it's not overboard.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, is, like, I actually, like, dug into this story pretty hard, because I was like, well, that's cool that now I'm, like, wondering what other famous people from this time that might pop up in later issues.
Sure.
Now, do you think you would have enjoyed it as much if these were just random people he made up? Let's rename them all, you know, something else.
That's a good question.
I'm going to say no, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree and say no.
Yeah, because I think a lot of what makes this book different is the fact that they're historical figures.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of them, like, are easily recognizable, like Rasputin and Houdini.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, Eastman, like, you guys didn't know who Monk Eastman was.
Right, right. Yep, right.
Like, Annie Oakley, I'm sure most people reading this book would not know who Annie Oakley is.
Yeah, I mean, I knew the name more than I knew any details about her.
Sure.
Right,
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, J.P. Morgan, everybody knows J.P. Morgan.
Right.
Well.
Or Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, most people probably don't know J.P. Morgan, the, you know, person.
Oh, sure, yeah. They just think the investment company.
Right, yeah.
No, I get that.
What about you, Jack?
This has been my favorite Aftershock title. I loved it from the first issue. And I think the thing that I like the most is that it's, you know, it's funny, but it's not like Deadpool, you know, stupid funny. It's a very serious story there's lots of, you know, parts that are very intense. But along the way, there's all these humorous bits, you know, in between. And I felt like that dynamic just made it a really great read for me.
Would you have enjoyed it more if there were not known people into it?
Yeah, I think I still would have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, adding the historical element to it definitely gives you more to chew on, but I think I still would have enjoyed the story a lot without that.
Yeah, actually, I only reread it because you said it was your favorite.
Yeah.
And I will say I'm glad I read it again. So usually what I do, I guess if you listen to other podcasts that I do, you already know this, but usually what I do is I give a book one arc. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to do with this one. I don't know if this is an ongoing or if it's a 4-issue or 6-issue. I didn't look it up. But that's generally what I do. One arc if the first issue really catches me. If it doesn't, then probably drop after the second. But this was going to be one of those books where I was going to give it one arc and then see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of glad I reread it because after rereading it, I have no intention of dropping this book.
Right, yeah.
You know.
And I think it's actually one of their ongoings, actually.
Okay.
I think it is, too. It's a little hard to tell, but Dreaming Angels is the only, for sure, mini, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I have a feeling a lot of these probably won't run real long, but...
Right, yeah.
Maybe 10 issues or more.
Well, and I'm sure some of that is, you know, kind of see the reaction of people and go from there.
Right.
Because I think Insects took a break after the first arc, didn't they?
Yes,
so I don't know maybe it was planned as a mini and then it just did well enough where they're going to continue the story.
Right.
So, I think overall this is a great book.
Yeah.
If you want to pick one Aftershock book and it's not Black Eyed Kids, then go ahead and pick this one up. I think this is a great choice.
If it was me, I would pick this one up, including Black Eyed Kids. This would be my choice.
Well, the right answer is you pick up all of them.
Right.
Right, yep.
If Joe Pruitt's listening, he's like, yeah, that's the right answer. Get it right, guys.
That's too funny. Yeah, I know that Joe was tagged when I posted the first episode last week. I was like, yes,
right.
Joe Pruitt will listen.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then they have their huge announcements tomorrow, too.
Oh, dude, I'm glad you said that. Let's take 5 minutes to talk about these huge announcements.
Okay.
Because I know there's been a little bit of chat in the Aftershock Facebook fan group about this.
Mm-hmm.
everybody's trying to kind of toss in their two cents on who it could be, what the projects could be. Now, you know, you could be like a little sly detective and like read all the tweets and you can kind of maybe figure out what it is and isn't.
Right.
So I know that, Ronnie, you reached out to Cullen Bunn, for example, and Phil Hester.
Yeah.
So we will be talking to both Cullen and Phil on the podcast at some point in the near future.
Awesome.
But, yeah. But Cullen's project is not being announced, I don't think.
Neither one, actually.
Yeah, neither one. Phil's or Cullen's. And from my understanding, Cullen Bunn's project is kind of a little bit further down the line.
Yes.
So I'm going to say maybe not till next year.
Yes, he just started Conan, so.
Right, Conan the Slayer.
Yes.
I'm going to pick that up. That comes out next week or this week?
Next week, I believe.
Next week, yeah. So he's, well, he does, what is it, Star Wars? Darth Vader.
Who, Cullen?
Han Solo. He's doing one of those, isn't he?
I know he does Drax, and then he does Harrow County.
Dude, I'm pretty sure he's doing a Star Wars book.
I don't think he's doing a Star Wars book.
What is it? Marjorie Liu's doing Han Solo.
Is he doing the Poe Dameron one?
Poe Dameron, that's the one.
Okay.
Yeah, he's doing Poe Dameron. All right, so now, it's not Phil or Cullen.
Now, hold up. If somebody's listening to this, they might not know what you're talking about. You're talking about the the top creator announcement on the website.
Oh, yeah,
website,
sorry.
Right?
I guess we should have been a little more explicit. Yeah.
Yes.
The top creator announcement coming tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. So it says on the top of the website, it says, who will be the next top creator to join the family, the Aftershock family? And top is highlighted in red. So we're definitely talking about like an A-list person. This is not going to be some...
Well, see, right. I made a joke about that.
Yeah, you did.
Because Top was highlighted in red, I said it had to be somebody from Top Cow, and the only writer that like came to the top of my head from Top Cow was Matt Hawkins, who I really enjoy. I think Matt Hawkins is a great writer. I don't know if he would do anything outside of Top Cow. I think he's so ingrained in Top Cow that he can pretty much do whatever he wants there.
He's been there for like 20 years, right?
Yeah, he's been there forever. Forever. Yeah. And I mean, I think he's writing like 4 books for them now. Some of them are really good. You should check it out. Like Symmetry was really fun. But so that was a joke. If it's Matt Hawkins, like extra point for me. But it's probably not, right? But I mean, who would you guys like to see at Aftershock?
Oh man, you know, Hickman hasn't been doing anything, has he? He's got a couple Image books, and he's not with Marvel anymore. I mean, I don't think that's who it is, but...
Isn't Hickman... I thought he was going out on his own. Maybe I got that wrong. Maybe it's somebody else.
Really?
No, well, never mind. I'm thinking of Remender. I think Remender's going to be doing that.
Hickman had a tweet like a couple months ago about joining DC, where he said something about the DC editors kept... You know, stop emailing me. I'll join if you want me to or whatever. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
But then I never heard anything about it.
Yeah, because he said, I've already destroyed one universe. I can destroy the other one.
Sure.
That's funny.
That is awesome. He's doing East of West. I guess that's it, right?
East of West. I feel like he has something else.
Anyways, that'd be cool. I'd be down for some Hickman. I prefer his indie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can say that for actually most people.
Yes.
Most writers. But I think in particular with Hickman, I haven't enjoyed anything that is not self-published or...
Really? You didn't like his Avengers or Fantastic Four stuff?
Fantastic Four was actually good. That might actually be one of my favorite Fantastic Fours, in fact. But in general, I'm generalizing.
Yeah. You know? Well, he had that whole theme running all the way from Fantastic Four through Avengers to Secret Wars. I mean, he really, you know, had the same storyline going for a long time.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. So Hickman, Ronnie.
I don't know, because the people I would like to see has already got, like, their hands totally full. Like, Kent is pretty much writing everything at Valiant, right?
Yeah, I think Kent's so hip at Valiant that he'll ever leave.
Tom King's, like, pretty much Batman eccentric now, because I'm pretty sure that's, you know, taking his whole plate.
Yep.
And then Jason Aaron, of course. But, you know, he's got two Image books and then plus tons of Marvel stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's busy. What about Lemire? He's kind of busy, too.
Yeah, Lemire's pretty busy, man.
Yeah.
He's doing, what, 3 books at Marvel?
Yeah.
He's doing...
Yeah.
He's doing X-Men, Old Man Logan, and Moon Knight.
Moon Knight, yeah.
And then Bloodshot Reborn.
Yeah.
I guess Plutona just finished that Image, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he might have time for one book.
But, okay.
I'll read it.
We'll talk about it later. For me... I don't know. Can I shoot big and say anybody but Grant Morrison?
Oh, come on now.
I'm just saying, like Scott Snyder. I would love Scott Snyder to do something besides one of the big two things.
Yeah.
But Grant Morrison has been like Jack's Garth Ennis to me, really. Like, I take it and leave it. You know, there are some things that he's done that's good, and then some things that's just like over the top to be over the top.
I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing like Neil Gaiman pop in there. I know that he's doing a lot more novels, and I guess American Gods going to be a TV show, and he's going to be involved with that. So he might be too busy.
Right.
Unlike Ronnie, I love Tim Morrison. So if Grant Morrison were to pop in here, I would be all over that.
Okay, can I change my answer?
No.
I'm going to take Warren Ellis. How about that?
Actually, that's pretty interesting, because Garth Ennis is doing Dreaming Eagles, but mm-hmm. he does have another project that he's going to be working on for Aftershock, right?
Right,
I've read that somewhere, so
yes.
I'm not making that up.
And Warren Ellis doesn't have a ton going on.
No, he's doing stuff at Avatar Press with Alan Moore and Garth Ennis. So it'd be kind of cool to see. I mean, I don't know about Alan Moore. I think he just kind of likes doing his own thing. So maybe he wouldn't do a book for Aftershock. But maybe Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love me some Warren Ellis, dude.
Yeah.
I'd be down for that.
Since Ronnie changed his answer, I'm going to change mine too.
Oh, you guys.
I'm going to go with the hometown guy, Jason Latour. That's who it is.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's only doing Spider-Gwen, right? And he's drawing Southern Bastards, right?
Yes.
Yep. And then that's it for now?
I think so.
Yep. And let me tell you, at Heroes Con, he had a line, I think the biggest line there.
I saw it.
I guess he's from here, so that had something to do with it. But
well,
he's definitely a star on the rise, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was the same with Remender. His line was pretty long.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Anyways. Well, I guess we'll find out. You know what's funny? We're recording this the day before the announcement. So yeah. By the time
it's announced,
they'll already know. And they'll be like, you guys are idiots.
Right. Yeah. Just talked about it for 15 minutes.
They're like, oh, Jack got it right.
Yeah, we'll see.
No, I got it right. It's Matt Hawkins. We already know this. Okay? Top cow. He's the top cow. Okay? It has to be him. Mm-hmm. Anyways, fun times. I guess next week, because I don't want to do these episodes too long.
That's fine.
But next week, we're going to be discussing our first round of new books. And I think we should probably do that other book that we wanted to do tonight.
Okay.
But I didn't think we would take this long to do this.
Yeah.
So we'll be discussing Second Sight next week, and we'll do some reviews of the new books that came out this week as well. It'll be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to talk about tonight?
The big announcement was the only thing that I had that I wanted to bring up.
You know what we should have done? We should have seen if we can get, like, inside scoop. Well, and so we could actually talk about it.
You're the contact guy.
My bad. That's my fault. All right, I guess we can wrap this puppy up. It's been fun. It's been real. I hope you all enjoyed it. I know we did. Yes, Ronnie?
I was just going to say, now X is going to give it to you.
Yes. Ronnie, you're going to make me lose my mind up in here. I think you probably have to find like a spoken word version, because I think if you do the actual music, you probably get taken off the internet.
Probably.
Or at least maybe iTunes. Anyways, we're all on Twitter. You should go and find us there. I don't know. I know Ronnie's very active. Jack, I don't see you on Twitter that often, but it's okay. I know you're a busy guy. Jack is at Jack Sutherland, because that's his name. And that's the easiest way to find him. Ronnie is at Ronbar16. That's kind of his name. But yeah. And I'm at Geekvine. That's not at all my name.
That's how we think of you.
But exactly. There's a long story behind that. I'll talk about it one day. You can email the show hello@nerdlegion.com. Of course, we are on the Aftershock fans Facebook group. So be sure, if you're an Aftershock fan, to go on there and check it out. It's pretty fun. Good people's in there. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. We'll catch you guys again next week.
Ciao.
Later.